Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is playing Chicago Theater this Sunday night as part of the supergroup Case Lang Veers. I'm not the freckled man. I'm not the fair hair girl. I'm not a pail of milk for you to spoil.
Well, the wholesome things, the ones we make up seem. Land words across my heart, symbols of infinity. Elements so pure, dark number. I am the spark
of this machine, purring like the city bus. Why are the wholesome things the ones you make up seem? Well, if your mercy's lost, I have enough for us. Land words across my heart, symbols of infinity. Elements so pure, atomic number.
The trio of music superstars, Nico Case, Katie Lang, and Laura Veers, spent 2.5 years working on this music. Nico Case, of course, is no stranger to Chicago. The indie rock sensation spent years here in town working with Kelly Hogan, Robbie Foulkes, and, well, I'm not sure why I'm naming Chicago musicians specifically because she's pretty much worked with them all. Nico Case is Chicago music royalty, and it is my pleasure to welcome her to The Download. Nico Case, thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about this collaboration. This is a big show at the Chicago Theater on Sunday. How did this come about?
Well, I had met Katie in Portland for a tandem interview, and we just hit it off and became friends, and she had just moved to Portland, and so I told her she should really look up Laura Veers and Tucker Martin, because they're great people and musicians and have stuff in common. And so, you know, we kind of knew each other that way, just kind of as acquaintances. And then Katie sent both Laura and I an email and said, let's make a record. And Laura and I replied probably faster than anyone has ever replied to anything ever, like, yes, we would love to do that.
What did you know of Katie's music at the time? Obviously, everyone knows it, but I mean, were you a big fan of her? I mean, when you...
I was a huge fan, and I had spent a lot of years living in Canada because I went to school there, and, you know, Katie was very prevalent in the United States, obviously, but in Canada, she's revered as a national treasure, as she should be. Like, she's on a postage stamp, for crying out loud. But, you know, I just was such a huge fan because she managed to do all these things that I had dreamed about. And, you know, she did them in her own style and went straight to the front of the line based on her talent. Like, she is that talented and has definitely the strongest voice I've ever stood next to anywhere. And so there was just so much to emulate there when I was younger. And then there was just so much to be inspired by. And obviously, the raw talent of her singing and the sound of her voice speaks for itself. Like, that's enough right there. But then the way she went about everything and, you know, coming from rural Alberta and just being a kind, nice person, you know, there's just so much to look up to.
It's one thing to look up to somebody and want to emulate their music, but it's another to work with them. Talk about the chemistry of putting together the music when you guys got in studio and started playing together.
Well, we didn't get into the studio together until, I don't know, probably about 2.5 years into actually working
really?
On the project.
Really? Okay.
Because we thought at first maybe we'll make a covers record, and then we thought, well, no, let's make kind of a punk rock girl group record. And then when we started, you know, because as a collaboration, a lot of people get together and they will bring original songs, but they don't necessarily write them together. So we decided that we would make it extra hard and try to write them from the ground up.
Wow.
Which was, you know, really hard, but we all were into the nerdery of that idea, so we went with it.
Right.
And it's really funny, Katie actually reminded us the other day, like, basically we were over 2 years in, and one day in her apartment realized we had never really sung three-part harmony together. All the songs together, and we were like, yeah, we should probably see if this actually works out. And then I think we started working on I Just Want to Be Here With You.
Mm-hmm.
It was either that or best kept secret, and we were like, okay, it's going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
The record's great, and the music, I mean, there really isn't a lead. I mean, you guys sort of trade off, but the harmonies, I mean, there really does feel to be almost in the spirit of true collaboration with the three of you coming together on this.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't want to make it, you know, a record where all of the, where we sang three-part harmony throughout, because we wanted the songs to dictate what we did, and as my friend Kelly Hogan always says, you know, serve the songs, which is exactly what we wanted to do. So we tried to just kind of go with what felt like should be there or was the most musical for that part, which sounds like huge umbrella of description in the word musical, because it is hard to pinpoint exactly what it is when a song is telling you what to do, because it's your insides telling you what to do, and it was consensus, and it was a lot of work, and it was, you know, a democratic process as well. So there was a lot going on.
Well, you talked a little bit about the collaborative process of all of you deciding to do it from the ground up, the nerdery of it. But I'm interested in how you usually collaborate, because you work with so many different musicians. Is there a specific way that you like to work with other people? And what does it take to collaborate with Nico Case?
Well, this particular project was like a masterclass. You know, Katie and Laura are both alpha personalities who are in charge of their own careers, mm-hmm. and I'm in charge of mine. And they do things completely differently than I do. And, you know, I'm in the band The New Pornographers, which is also collaborative, but it's in a different way. I take a backseat as far as, you know, veto power. Like, I come up with some ideas, and I have some of my own parts I make up, but for the most part, I'm doing what Carl and Dan's songs call for, and, you know, Carl will have parts written out that I will just kind of emulate, and then I might make up my own part or whatever, but, and that's very freeing, because I don't have to make big decisions. I can just go in and be the guy who does what they want, which is really fun as well. And then in my own band, I could write songs on my own, but I got in a band in the first place because I like the sense of camaraderie and playing with other people. So I will generally choose to work with other people over writing it by myself, which is a little on the lonely side.
Okay. You know, you mentioned Kelly Hogan, Chicago, of course. You know, you came here to Chicago in the late 90s, 99 or so. Talk about making that move, that transition to come here to Chicago. What drew you to Chicago and the music scene here?
There was just a lot of like-minded folks, and people were really open. And there seemed to be kind of like a central, you know, the Hideout and Bloodshot were two of the things that made it very appealing. And, you know, having met Kelly and Tom Ray and a bunch of other musicians, as well as satellite musicians like John Rawhouse, even though he didn't live in Chicago, he worked out of there a lot. It just was a good place to be. And, you know, I had just moved back to Seattle from Vancouver where I was going to school, and honestly, my heart was a little broken, A, because, you know, I had to leave Canada because my visa was up, and I didn't want to stay there illegally. That would have been not to the point. And, you know, I worked there a lot. I wasn't going to risk my being able to come and go. And then I moved back to Seattle, which was so different than when I left it, and it was unaffordable. There was no central feeling of community at all. It was just all commerce. And, you know, all the musicians there had kind of been dwarfed by the real estate movement. And a lot of people had moved, and et cetera. And so Chicago was kind of calling. It felt good. And I thought, well, I'd like to mix it up. You know, I'd like to live in Chicago because I'd always had a real affection for it. And the Midwesterners there are very friendly, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm so glad I did it.
Well, I mean, you're a big part of that scene at the Hideout. You mentioned Bloodshot Records and the quote-unquote, I guess, alt-country scene here in Chicago. But that scene, you know, has blown up in the way that so many people have come out of it, and it really is. You know, some have had John in here and Kelly and talked about this being sort of the epicenter of that kind of Americana music outside of maybe the hipper parts of Nashville. Talk about, you know, being a part of that. And you were a big part of that. I mean, the idea of you being a Chicago resident and making music seemed to propel that Chicago had a scene more than just sort of a calm community.
Well, I don't think I can take any credit for that. I was just fortunate enough to be there while it was going on. Like, I don't know that I started any of the momentum. I think I more benefited from it than propelled it, but I am still very, very, like, all the great friends I made in Chicago are the core of my family to this day.
What do you think made that scene move? I mean, what did make it propel? What was it that made more music lovers from around the country pay attention to what was happening with you, with Kelly, with others that were performing here and making music in Chicago?
I don't know. I think there was just this joy. There was a joy to it. And I often, you know, when I'm thinking about it, of course I see, you know, Bloodshot, and I see a lot of John Langford, Sally Timms, and a lot of those other folks as well. They just made happenings all the time. You know, there was always things going on that, I don't know, people felt like they were definitely in the songs and a part of the band, even if they weren't in the band. Like, as the audience, it definitely was very obvious that the band existed because of the audience and vice versa. You know, it was very group oriented, and it was such a joyful, just like a swift, brisk energy that was very hopeful.
You know, you got out of Chicago. I mean, you moved on from it. Do you miss being a part of Chicago and being here on a daily basis?
I do. I moved out of Chicago because I just couldn't afford it. Like, you know, it was $500,000 for a house seen on Cops. It was at the time. It was the bubble was huge, and you know, our apartment that was really cheap was owned by some really terrible people, and it just wasn't going to last. And so I thought, well, I should take myself to where I can afford to live and actually work. So I ended up moving to Tucson for about 7 years, which was also great. I missed Tucson too, but I mean, what happened with Chicago is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not an isolated thing, unfortunately.
But I guess as a fan of music and a fan of art and a fan of having a creative class here in Chicago, it's hard to hear that, you know, you, Nico Case, couldn't afford to live here because of what's happening in the city. It's hard to swallow.
Well, it's happening to artists everywhere. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's kind of the most prevalent thing, really. I mean, Seattle, that was basically what had already happened in Seattle was happening to Chicago. And I realized, well, I'm not going to be able to make a future for myself here in that way.
Nico Case is going to be part of the show, the supergroup Case, Lang & Veers at Chicago Theater this Sunday night. Before I let you go, you know, for your solo work specifically, are you working on new music? Can we expect anything from you coming up in the near future?
Yes. I'm actually going to start working on a new record in October, November, which is why we have some live dates on the West Coast coming up then. So, yeah.
All right.
And the new Pornographers have been recording as well, so.
Well, I speak for all of Chicago and say, yay! That's good. Nico Case, guest tonight. She's going to be performing at Chicago Theater this Sunday night, part of the supergroup Case, Lang & Veers. It's at Chicago Theater. I can't thank you enough for taking some time out, and good luck with the show and the rest
of
the music.
Thank you so much.